this is the greatest hour to follow Jesus. So yeah, I love you, Todd and Jackie, so much. I know Jessica loves you. Our kids love you. I know you love us and you love our kids. So Bill said something the other day. He said, I'm staying in Reading for a few months. And he said, pursuing a breakthrough with a group of people who become family is one of the greatest honors in life, one of the greatest privileges in life. It really is. And Todd is a brother. So I just want to just say before the world how much I love you. I hope we can do these when your dreads are gray and my beard super gray. Until we all go home to be with Jesus. It's just such a joy. I thought I'd start with a few testimonies. Is that cool? You don't like testimonies of power and love? No? About 2 months ago, I was asked in Reading to teach on how to steward the presence of God corporately, how to tend to the presence of Jesus. How many of you know that Adam was called to tend to the garden, right? The curse was working the garden. The covenant was tend to the garden. And so so I was asked to teach on that, and growing up the way I did, it was kind of second nature. So it was a challenge for me to find wording for that corporately. I found it to be a challenge from heaven, so I gladly accepted it. And by the way, my wife's here. Jesse, stand up, babe. Stand on up. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. She's got new overalls on. I guess they're back. Are they in style, girls? Overalls are in. Yeah. Jesse's bringing them in back. And I was going to wear overalls, but I didn't think they'd fit the occasion. I began to teach on the presence of God. And then a few weeks ago, I was with Kenneth Copeland at his office. And Brother Copeland said, you have to start teaching on the value of praise and worship and the presence of Jesus. So I took that as an order from heaven. Bethel and then Kenneth Copeland, I thought, okay, God, you're talking to me. Help me. So right after my meeting with Brother Copeland, I went to Bethel, Cleveland, and did a Holy Spirit conference with a friend of mine named Michael Miller, who pastors a church called The Upper Room. I don't know if you've heard Upper Room Worship recently. Really amazing. And they've been dear friends of ours for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. Same with Todd. It's been really amazing to see what God's doing with him. So he was there, and a guy named Brian Guerin. How many of you know who Brian Guerin is? Yeah, yeah. So Brian basically flew to Ohio to stand at the pulpit twice and maybe spoke for like 10 minutes. The glory of God just hit the place. Which I was like, bro, you flew all the way here just to stand there and look good. And it really worked. So, yeah. So in that event, I felt the Lord direct me to begin thanking him very intentionally. Now, I usually don't preach so specifically on this, but I began to see so many miracles in the span of an hour that it did something to me forever. For 45 minutes, with the exception of one or two people, I'd have to go back and look at the footage. I think it's about that. With the exception of one or two people, for 45 minutes, the only testimony we took were tumors that vanished, or cysts that vanished, or growths that vanished, or significantly shrunk or disappeared by at least 50 to 75%. They were happening under our hands. We were feeling them go down. It was amazing. One after the other. In fact, we couldn't get to any more testimonies. Just tumors, cysts, and growths. Which was awesome, right? We can give Jesus praise for that. Yeah. How many of you know that Jesus hates cancer? He hates every growth that's not supposed to be there, benign or malignant. He wants it all gone, right? And so I began to learn something in the moment. Remember, it takes being with Jesus to learn from Jesus. He is not into long-distance relationships. He just won't have it. That's why he called Moses to the burning bush, got his attention, and then gave him his orders. See, we want direction. We don't want affection. God's into the affection. Affection births direction. Are you hearing me? God's after you. See, you want orders. God wants you to want him. Should I say that again? You want orders. God wants you to want him. So it takes being with him to learn him. And Jesus said, learn of me. He didn't say learn about me. Those are completely different. He said, learn of me. In other words, I am your subject. I am your topic. Jesus is not going to give you a how-to manual. He's just going to show up and stand in front of you. See, that I felt that hit some of you like, no. Jesus is enough. Todd and I were just talking in the back. I'm going to say it. But how many of you know the Jews in ancient Israel actually had the word of God attached to their forehead? Did you know that? In Greek, we call those phylacteria. In other words, they had them on the edge of their robe, on the robes. Our priests grew up with those. I grew up Orthodox. Harry would know, on our sleeves, on the bottom of our robes, tassels. Isn't it amazing you can have scripture hanging on and attached to your forehead and never see Jesus? Think of that. That you can have scripture attached to your forehead, and when the author stands in front of you, you want to kill him. So Jesus shows up and he goes, I've got good news for you. I'm the covenant. Here you go, right here. And we're like, well, we need more. And Jesus is like, well, there is no more than everything. So you're just going to have to be convinced. I'm the deal. I'm the issue. Right here. I'm right in front of you. And that's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about a month ago. He said, Michael, you can't have more than everything. I'm everything. So it takes being with him to learn of him. And when he is honored in a setting like this, he then begins to teach you in this setting of himself. And so as these tumors began to vanish, I looked at the crowd and I could tell that some of them, they were acting like we were at a fish fry. Like, oh yeah, I've done this before. It's no big deal. Just a few tumors leaving. You know, they're not a big deal unless they're your tumors. You know, we don't go after flus and colds because we don't think they're big miracles. Unless you have the temperature and you're puking all night, then they're valuable, right? It's not the size of the sickness that determines it, the value of the miracle. What determines the value are the stripes on Jesus' back and the blood that flowed down his back to pay for the miracle. So we have to be a people that go after everything. You know, that's what Jesus did. I'm going to get in trouble now. You want me to do it? You want me to say it? Okay, that's what Jesus did. He healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, and he raised Lazarus. Some people, that's just a fever. Well, if it's your fever, you want it gone. And Lazarus was pretty sick if he was dead. That's a pretty serious situation, right? He healed, I call that the A and Z of healing. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, and he raised Lazarus from the dead, and everything in between. But here's the most beautiful part. How many of you are here with your mother-in-law today? Oh, raise your hand if you're here with your mother-in-law. Okay, say what he's about to say has nothing to do with you. Okay, this is what I like to tell people who don't believe in miracles. If Jesus would heal a mother-in-law, he would heal anyone. He would heal anyone. So I'm there in that setting, and I'm watching the eyes of the people. Miracles, listen, miracles can numb you to miracles if you don't love Jesus. Jesus heals the sick, multiplies bread and fish, and the Pharisees then call for a sign. Isn't that amazing? That he can do all of that, and they say, you know what? If you are who you say you are, we demand a sign. He should have been like, where have you been? But that's the condition of a human heart outside of intimacy with Jesus. Even miracles will stop doing it for us. So I looked at the faces of the people, and as these tumors were literally vanishing, the Holy Spirit said, tell them to thank me. And so I did. I said, the Lord wants you to thank him. And they began to thank Jesus, and as they did, one or two more tumors would leave. I thought, wow, this is working. Thank him again. Two more people would get in the healing line. Ah, mine disappeared. My growth disappeared. Mine shrunk. The power of thanksgiving is beyond what you could ever, ever imagine. And that's why, listen, that's why we start this deal with thanksgiving and praise. We don't have the authority to tell Jesus how he longs to be approached. He sets the standard. He's the author. So imagine there's this mighty king here, right there. He's standing right here, and we come through into these meetings, into these moments, walking out in the streets, wherever we're doing. And Jesus says this, if you want to come my way, I want you to thank me. In fact, he says we enter his gates with thanksgiving. That means if I'm not thankful, I'm a spectator. I'm not even allowed through the front door. But when I'm thankful, see, I wonder if some of you were like, I prayed for somebody out there and their pain went from an 8 to a 3. The devil goes, that's not a real healing. That's what the devil says. The renewed mind says, oh my gosh, from an 8 to a 3. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, the devil says, you've got to start with cancer healings, and that might be where you start. But maybe God's waiting on us to thank him for the healed cold so that he can trust us with the character to empty out cancer wards. The devil is always pointing your attention through his lies and wants us to focus on what Jesus has not done. But if you'll get thankful here, you'll see stuff this week you only dreamed of. Jess will tell you, we just got back from Houston. We had our Jesus Houston event last week, I think. Well, maybe we'll try to show the video. I think I'm preaching tomorrow night, 7. Is that when I'm preaching? Tomorrow night. I'll try to show the video of this lady's tongue getting loosed who was paralyzed in the face. And the Lord said, sit on a stool. I don't want you doing anything. So I sat on a stool, and the miracle started all over the room. And she couldn't talk, and her healing, it was a progression. It got healed by like half, I think, babe, am I right? And then like 70%, then 90%. I said, now pray in tongues by faith. And her tongue loosened. The feeling came back in her face. It was literally miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. It's phenomenal. I'm saying that all this, Todd would probably agree, he's never heard me open like this. I feel like we're stepping into something right now. That are the powers of the age to come. Where, like the scripture says, where nothing is impossible. But listen. It takes being with the Lord. Jesus is not raising up employees right now. He's not raising up gospel employees. He is raising up lovers who labor. And they also realize that the labor in them is completely due to the Holy Spirit. We've got to get there. Like we really have got to get there in our minds. I have a question for you. So I've done some wild stuff with outreach. I've chased people through Disney. I mean, Jess will tell you. I mean, getting out of Disney, I live in Orlando. I'm not going to say what I was just going to say. But I just don't like going there very much. And it's hot. There are tourists everywhere. They smell, a lot of them. Like the ones after 4 o'clock, they start smelling. And you're in line and you're just like, why? You finally figure out in your heart, you're like, wait, I actually paid to do this to myself. I'm actually just paid $100 to go through like extended CrossFit, dehydrated. And then you look at your kids and you're like, oh, I know why I'm doing this to myself, because I love you. And so I'm there at Disney, and finally, you know, if you don't like Disney, on your way out, you're like, it's like the Red Sea parting, like the Charlton Heston. You're like, thank you, Jesus. So I'm leaving. It takes an hour to get from the gate just to your car. And I'm walking out, and the Lord says, go preach the gospel to the little girl selling the Disney Mickey ears that light up. Weren't they Mickey ears? She's like the lady girl at the cart with all the little, like, glow-in-the-dark bracelets. I'm like, I have to go backwards through this hellish, like, flow of people from all over the world. So we go, and I took my kids. Before you know it, I'm running. I'm running to go get this girl. And we preach the gospel to her. And this is one of the great joys of life. But it's super important that your identity is not based, listen, it's not based on how many miracles you see or how many times you tell your friends you led somebody to Jesus. It's got to be rooted in something way deeper. And in all the encounters I've had with the Lord, I never left one of them saying, I'm really amazing. In fact, I've never had one encounter with Jesus where when it was over, I said, I know exactly why he came into my room. I don't blame him at all. I've left every time saying, I can't believe he came. I can't believe he loves me that much. It's amazing. And it's in that place where dependency is formed. A deep dependency on the Holy Spirit. You say, well, will that slow me down? No, it'll speed you up. You'll understand that every time when you walk in this dependency, you put your hand on the sick, that sickness is much smaller than the Jesus standing next to you. And you begin to see that sickness in light of the majesty of King Jesus. And all of a sudden you say, oh, this is going to happen. This miracle's coming. It is still in 2018, not by might. Listen to me. It is still not by might. It is still not by power. It is still by the Holy Spirit. Still. So just lift your hands where you are right now. Just lift your hands. Say, Jesus, I'm available to love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to read something to you out of John 18 in the Passion Translation. I want you to mark verse 20. I'm sorry, mark verse, we'll start in verse 36. So just mark that, and then I just want you to listen to me for a moment. What's the Bible about? Anyone know? Can you scream it out? Anyone? Jesus, are you sure? How do you know? Wait, what's the Bible about? Love? So, yeah. Okay, somebody said Jesus. How many of you think that's true? Okay, good. Now, how do we know that? Wait, tell me that. Tell me, lady. He's the Word. It's a good answer. How do we know that the Bible is about Jesus? We've got to really know that. You're just like, okay, because Jesus said it. Jesus said, the scriptures speak of me. Do you remember him saying that? He said, you search the scriptures fervently in them thinking that you'll find eternal life. But the scriptures speak of me, and you won't come to me so that I can give you life. The moment Jesus said that, he changed the game forever. He turned the page on what it meant to seek the Lord in the Word of God. The moment Jesus said that, it meant something. That every time we open the Word, I have two Bibles here, just in case you don't think I'm a Word guy. I do love the Bible. So I'm not saying don't value your Bible. I'm saying make sure you meet the author when you're reading. The moment Jesus said that, it changed the game. That meant that every time I read a verse, I'm to hold his hand while I'm reading and walk through the garden of the scriptures like Adam walked through the Garden of Eden with the Lord. The presence of Jesus is not a side issue. If the presence of Jesus is a side issue, then Jesus is a side issue. You say, no, I don't agree with that. The presence of Jesus is Jesus. I wish I could get down there. I'm telling you, I'd tackle some of you. Or staring. You're like, if you wrote me a letter, and let's say you worked at the White House, and if you do, I'm glad to come. If you wrote me a letter and said, we request Michael and Jessica's presence at this dinner, you are not asking for the thought of Michael and Jessica to come. Oh, I want to get to you. I cannot. Stop tempting me. Listen, we're not asking for the idea of Michael and Jessica to come. We're not asking for the historical knowledge of Michael and Jessica to come. We're not asking for my bio. When you say we request Michael's presence, you are saying we want Michael to come. And so when we say, Jesus, we welcome your presence. Jesus, I feel your... He's here right now. I feel him. When we say, Jesus, I feel your presence, we say, Jesus, I'm feeling you. His presence is him. And without his presence is him among us. Him, listen, if you're taking notes, him in us, him on us. That's a wild combination. Him in me forever. That means... if you like me or hate me, and I do hope you like me. I really, that'd be much more wonderful. Enough people hate me. I hope you like me. But whether you love me or hate me, this fountain never moves. Never moves. So if I'm here right now or I'm fishing, Jesus made fishing. He knows I love it. If I'm fly fishing or I'm here, the fountain never moves. If people are spitting on me or crushing me on Facebook or misunderstanding me or accusing me, I can look at them, and while they're ridiculing me, I can drink from a fountain they know not of. That's why I can look at them and smile when they're right after me. If I'm preaching a crusade or flipping burgers at In-N-Out, if I'm frying French fries at In-N-Out, I love In-N-Out. Keto, obviously, no bread. That's what I go with. You're like, you guys are keto people? Wow. Nice, Todd. Good work, man. Regardless of what I'm doing, that fountain never moves. Never. And Jesus gave us a promise. He said this. if you drink from this spring, from your innermost being, the actual Greek reads, a spring-like gushing river will begin to flow and you will never thirst again. Now listen, yeah, listen. When Jesus saved you, he did not change you. He killed you and replaced you. You don't think that's good, huh? You think that's a small deal? Okay, let me help you then, because I feel like the fear of the Lord is going to smash this event. I feel like it's going to be a staple sense throughout this weekend. I'm telling you, there's going to be the spirit of the fear of the Lord that's going to hit us. And when it does, Jesus, we just need to give ourselves over and let the consuming fire of God hit us. Do you know why he's a specific kind of fire? He's a consuming fire because he eats up everything that's not him, and the only thing left is him. That's what you want. That's what it means to be a living epistle. That's when your eyes start to flicker and get all weird. That's when he changes your body, the way you look at people, the way you talk. That consuming fire hits you. And that's what the spirit of the fear of the Lord does. And Lord, I just want to say we want that. We want you to form us into the image of Jesus through the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So, Jesus doesn't change us when we get saved. Getting saved is not an upgrade. You're not a little better off when you get born again. My friend Daniel Kalenda said, we were just in Kona with Andy Bird a few weeks ago down at YWAM. And Dan said, when you get saved, you're not better off. He said, eating a salad instead of a cheeseburger is better off because the gospel's way more important, way better. A changed Michael is still a hellbound Michael. An improved Michael is still hellbound. I needed to be nailed to a tree. Nailed to a tree by faith, put in the ground by faith, raised up again by faith, listen, by faith with Jesus. That's the whole point of baptism, by the way. If some of you are struggling, we need to go find a puddle. It's that old man on you. It's that old man. That's why some of you are struggling. That's what baptism does. Baptism's not symbolic. Find me one passage in the scripture where the Holy Spirit did not manifest when waters or baptism were highlighted. You won't find it. The children of Israel went through the Red Sea. They were baptized into the sea. And the Bible says, Paul wrote, into the cloud. When you're baptized, you're not just washed off so you can knock it off on your Israel tour. I've baptized thousands in Israel. I love it. But that's not the point. The point is this. When you go into the water and come out, you are not changed. You are raised to newness of life. That old man is cut off. So he's not taped to your back anymore. And his disease doesn't get onto your mind. This is a big deal. It's a big deal. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit doesn't merely touch you, though it starts there. Because Jesus said to his disciples, speaking of the Holy Spirit, you know him because he is with you. Say with. We all start our walk in the Spirit by being with the Spirit. But you can be completely a heathen and be with the Spirit. Because the moment you're with him, he grabs your hand and leads you to a destination, the cross of Calvary. And that's when your heart sees Jesus hanging on a tree, crucified, bloodied, all for you, and you can't believe that he wants you, and there he is, suspended between heaven and the earth as heaven's sacrifice, bridging our darkness with the glorious light. Just as that lamb in Exodus 12 was suspended between the fires and the skies, couldn't be boiled, was slowly roasted. That's what the Lord told Moses. It's all Jesus, the whole thing. We come to him because the Holy Spirit's with us. We come to Jesus, and the moment we say, take my life, I believe you are who you say you are. This is a divine exchange. The moment you give your life to him as authentically as you can, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says something. I am going to live in this guy's body. Is that good news? Wait. All right, let me say it like this. God lives in your body. Let me say that again. God, the I Am, the Ancient of Days, Yahweh, heaven's darling, the one who spoke, and still today the universe is growing, 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 growing. If we were a mile closer to the sun, we'd fry. If we were a mile further, we'd freeze. That God, with such wisdom, lives in your body. Right here, in you. In you. That's good news. And so Paul said, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't you know that your bodies are the temple? Don't you know that your body, go like this. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Oh, my word. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's the gospel, bro. It's the best stuff. And so the Lord actually says, I'll replace him, Tim, and I'll give him me. Now, I don't know about your resume pre-Jesus, but I got the better end of the deal on this salvation thing. Jesus took me, and I got him. That's amazing grace. Yeah, that's amazing grace. That's the kind of grace that keeps you up at night. That's the kind of grace that Paul tried to put words to by saying this. I want to apprehend that which apprehended me. You're like, what? What's that mean? What do you know what he's saying? I've got to grab a hold of the one who grabbed me. How many of you have been with Jesus and his presence becomes so real to you? You want to say stuff, but your mouth doesn't match what your heart's expressing. You ever been there? And so you just let something out like this. And you set the whole day aside to pray, and you've got nothing to say but, That's when you're in love. When the heart is so burning, the mouth can't catch up. And so then your eyes fill up with water because your mouth can't let it out, and just tears start flowing. You know, you need to kind of check your tear meter every once in a while, guys. This isn't a works sermon, but you got to check your tear meter. Did the same songs move your heart anymore? Remember that song you'd hit on replay nonstop, like all the time? Todd sends me those songs all the time. Doesn't matter what genre they're in or where they're from or your favorite worship band singing them. Doesn't matter. What matters is, did they originate in heaven? Any worship leaders here? God's given away songs. Spend time with Jesus so you can sing the right ones, the stuff that's being sung up there. If God entrusts you with those songs, they'll live forever. They'll move hearts. So those songs, they move your heart. You remember those days? Remember when you got your highlighter out and you just start highlighting your Bible? I don't even know why am I highlighting the genealogies? Oh my God. Because it feels right. You're like, and stone the witch. Yes! Stone the witch. I love Methuselah. You don't need, you're just, it's real. God's doing something in you. Because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Romans 5:5 says, the love of God, which is a big, big, big love. That love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. He is not just shed, he's shed abroad in our hearts. That's because God is so generous. That's why the parable of the sower, that's why seed falls on different soil. It's not because God has bad aim. How many of you know that? It's because God is so generous. He takes the seed that is his word and goes, I love you. I love the world. And just starts chucking it everywhere. It's just the way he is. And so that's the way the Holy Spirit shares the love of Jesus in our heart. And it comes in wave after wave after wave after wave after wave after wave. And it never moves. So Jesus said, he is with you. He leads me to the Lord. The moment I say yes to Jesus, and that's when this promise is fulfilled. Jesus said, and he shall be in you. Shall be in you. That's when I come to Jesus. Then all of a sudden, I discover that my grandmother has a tumor, that my mom is depressed. This isn't my experience, but I'm just speaking prophetically, that my mom is depressed, that my is bound, that my church is powerless, that people are coming to the altar and they're leaving the same. I'm preaching the messages, nobody's heart is stirred, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, I'm in you, but now I need to be on you. With me, in me, on me. And once he's on me, I start breaking chains. Yeah, you need to say thank you, Jesus. I start breaking chains for you in the name of Jesus. People being set free because it's not by might. The anointing does not deal with the yoke. The anointing doesn't counsel the yoke. The anointing does not hurt the yoke. It does not break it. It destroys it. It destroys it. That's the Holy Spirit on me, clothing me. But in this corporate setting, I've got news for you. Listen. In this corporate setting, he's among us. He's among us. You say, how do you know? What do you think my answer is? Say, because Jesus said it. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, if two or three gather in my name, I'm there. When you know who it is that's here, that phrase would keep you up all night, every night. He said, if you gather, or when you gather in my name, I am there, even in the midst of you. How many of you think it would be amazing if Jesus just stood back by the sound guys? It'd still be pretty amazing, right? How many of you would be amazing if he just kind of stuck it one finger through one of the rafters? Just one. What if he just shot through this room real quick and ran on through the other wall? He can do that too. Don't you love when he walked through walls and told the disciples, don't be afraid? You're like, what? What? Don't be afraid. Or he walks through a wall and says, peace. You're like, Lord. No. At least use the door if you're going to say peace when you walk in. If Jesus just shot through this room like he has in my house, he's walked straight through my living room. You say, I don't believe it. That's fine. You don't have to. But children believe stuff really easily. Children get bread. Experts need to know how the bread's made. Children just eat it. Children just eat it. We have a friend named Dave Papavisi who's full-time in Iraq. We laid hands on him one night, blessed him before he went to Iraq. and Jessica saw Jesus walk straight through my living room. I didn't know why we all felt like we were getting electrocuted. And my wife's been around a lot. I mean, she's not... Guys, she wears overalls. She's not going to lie. So wholesome. So wholesome. But... just walk straight through my room. Right into the living room. We've had angels in my house. I'm not saying this to get brownie points. I'm saying this to let you know that he desires to be among us. So if Jesus kind of put his finger through one of those air vents, it'd be incredible. But he has a way better idea. He said, I don't just want to be there. I want to be in the midst of you. So he said, here's the condition. You gather in my name. Not in Michael's name. Not in Todd's name. Not in Lifestyle Christianity's name. Not in Jesus Image's name or Power and Love's name. If you can somehow grace those doors with an awareness of my presence and in your heart say, I have come here to be with Jesus. That changes the day immediately. Once your heart goes, oh, and here's the deal. I don't know how many are here right now. It just takes two or three. If two or three of you go, Jesus, I am here in your name.
To get daily teaching from Michael and to follow our event schedule around the world, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to subscribe to the Jesus Image TV YouTube channel as well. By partnering with Jesus Image, you will help us take the saving and healing power of Jesus to the world. Your giving changes lives forever. For more information, please visit us online at jesusimage.tv or write us at Jesus Image, P.O. Box 950-640, Lake Mary, Florida 32795. Thank you for your prayers and financial support. Jesus is the answer for every life, everywhere.